List? We don't need no list. It's the news. According to me. Oh, it is Tuesday morning, July 8th, 7:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. And it is, I am here. I'm here. I'm your host. Yes, do not fear. I am here. In your ear. If you're wearing earphones. Oh, goodness gracious. It is a Tuesday morning. It is fairly early, 7:47 a.m. I can't have a really long show today, but I've got some things to do, got some traveling to do, but just local traveling, just stuff to get done. I've got to have breakfast with some friends. Breakfast. I do a couple guys I have breakfast with once every, I don't know. Seems like every 2 or 3 months. We tried to make it do it a once a month thing, but it's been every couple months. The other two guys are retired. I'm a wannabe retiree. I'm somewhat wannabe. I'm never really going to retire. It's one of those things where I'm not going to be working for somebody else after I get done with this thing in a couple years. I don't think I might work a couple more years. We'll see how it goes, how my health is holding up and how things are, you know, just whether I can enjoy life on this, you know, with doing some work. It's certainly not going to be work that I don't want to do. I'm going to be doing something productive and something other than just, you know, mowing my lawn and working on my house. And all my vehicles and stuff, everything's got to be worked on all the time. I mean, it's fun. It's fun, but there's got to be something outside of that. And there are some things I'd like to do. So there's some little businesses I'd like to start. Not necessarily do the work, but I just, you know, get behind them and find somebody else that wants to do them. And get behind them. Anyway, that's beside the point. I'm not going to get down. The old rabbit hole thing has to. You know, dog stuff, just everything. There's just all this stuff I'd like to do. I'm going to be busier. I've been busier the last 6 months. I had family leave there for about 6 weeks, and I was just busy. And not necessarily schedule busy, just busy, just doing stuff all the time. And I won't get into that. Projects, as many projects done as I wanted to, some big major projects that didn't get done that I thought would possibly get done, but didn't get done. That's okay. 6 weeks seems like a long time until you're in it and then you realize how fast it flies. But the summer's half over already. So I have few things to talk about today. My cup is one of them. There's nothing fantastic news about it other than just it's the good old standard. I've got a new batch of chai mix, my big train chai with the Pacific Island chai, all mixed up. That's what I have in my cup today with my Almond Joy creamer. Good stuff. That's good stuff. Nice. It's kind of cool this morning. I think when I woke up this morning, it was 60 degrees outside, which is nice. It's nice and cool. After having such a heat wave for so long, you go outside and it's still 75, 80 degrees outside in the morning. Well, now it's cool enough that I can wear some long pants, get some work done, some dirty, you know, stuff that I got to get done that I want to wear shorts to do. Get that stuff done, and then I got my yard mowed. I had to rent a mower yesterday. I had an interesting experience with that. If I had more time today, if I had a longer show, I might talk about that tomorrow morning. I might have time tomorrow morning. I doubt it, but I'll have to leave here about 7:30 to get my day going. But I've got Thursday and Friday morning. Actually, I have a lot of time on those 2 days. And so I will probably, as long as I have a good internet connection where I'm at, I'll probably try to do a longer show on those days. If I am so inspired, I have, thank you for listening, by the way. Thank you for tuning in, listening, and, participating in any way that you do, whether you make comments or share or like or whatever you do with this podcast, if you want to get even more involved, you can call. You know, I haven't checked my messages. I don't know if anybody called or not. You can call the show 812-379-8778. And you can text that number. Or you can call that number and leave a voicemail. I will probably, no, I'm not going to answer it. But if you, you never know. I might answer it. You know, you never know. But I prefer to just, you can just leave a voicemail and then you can, I can play that on the show if you, kind of like a hotline kind of thing. Or you can text the show to that number, 812-379-8778. And if you don't have an international calling plan, if you're calling from another country or something like that, you can go to google.com/voice and put that number in and you can leave a voicemail or a text message, either one for that deal. Yeah, we have, in fact, let me just look a little bit at the statistics here. Where are we here? Analytics down. Where are we at? All podcasts last 92. Where's the little thing at here? Geographic stats. See where the countries are. Believe it or not, Santa Clara, California has the most listens in the last 90 days. I guess it's 90 days. Yeah, last 90 days. In the U.S. anyway. Actually, that's overall. The greatest number of listeners are Santa Clara, California, of all places. New York is another one. Lakewood, New Jersey. South Bend, Indiana. I wonder whether, that's interesting. Some local people here. Probably my wife, mostly. Evansville, Indiana. Maynard, Massachusetts. Ashburn, Virginia. There's some actually local people here listening in on the show here. Kentucky, Indiana, Washington, Michigan, Illinois. Well, Michigan several times at that. I think I know who some people up there are. I do have some friends up there. Bloomington, Indiana, Madrid. That's London, England. They're all up in there in the top listeners. Country-wise, of course, the U.S. is number one. What else do we have here? U.S. I have not, in the last 90 days, nobody from Canada has listened. It's kind of surprising, actually. Iran, of all places. Spain, of course. Madrid, that was. The U.K. is another one. There's a couple that I can't see what some of those are there. Switzerland, Japan. What was that? Is that Azerbaijan? Azerbaijan, actually. Australia, of course. That's, of course. Nobody from New Zealand right now, which is kind of unusual. China. China made it on the block here. It's several listeners there. That's quite a few, actually. That's kind of shocking, actually. Hello, and I don't know how to say hello in Chinese, but if I did, I would do that. That's easy. Okay, there we go. Yeah, that's all I see there for now. All right, so that gives you an idea of what's going on. That's the breakdown. I don't have that much time, so I'm not going to frolic around on this too long. Go back here. There we go. All right, now I got back on my stuff. One of the things in the news right now, a couple things in the news. One is the talked about a little bit of stuff yesterday about the lawsuit cases and that kind of thing going on with Trump and his ability to. And I played that thing about with Rachel Maddow at the end, near the end there, Nicole Wallace and Rachel Maddow, and how ridiculous the statements are that she's making. It's like they're living in some kind of fantasy world in their head. I don't understand. Well, he's going to be down in single digit numbers, low single digit numbers. We're talking low. You're talking 3 or 4% approval rating. And the ones that she made it really clear that it was very, 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 very low on immigration approval. What box is she living in here? These people like to speak out something that they think is going to be reality. Do they really believe it? This is delusional. This is what we're witnessing in front of us is right before our very eyes is this mass psychosis. They're convincing themselves of things that just simply are not true. Some would argue this happens in society quite often. You know, one of the things, I listen to Adam Carolla once in a while. And he's very rough around the edges kind of guy. But he has a perspective on things. He's a very, I don't know if he's necessarily a deep thinker, but he's a thinker. He definitely thinks about a lot of things. Now, this is a guy who probably has spent a lot of time either on road trips or doing something. Because when you're on a road trip, that's the one thing I like about road trips. I like to drive. It's, you get out on a 4-lane highway and especially out on the open road, not through city driving, forget that. Can't think of anything else going as you're driving. Lucky enough to listen to something, somebody else talking, let alone develop any thoughts of your own. Running out on the road, up on the open road, you can spend hours out there and you're doing something. You're traveling, so you're getting something done. But you're able to do some thinking, and I enjoy that. Because you can get deep into some thoughts, and you're going to have a couple hours or whatever till the next stop, and it's nothing can distract you much unless there's some kind of weird weather situation or traffic situation. And it's that kind of stuff. I don't know where he finds the time or what he does. He must be doing something that gives him the opportunity to think about stuff. I don't think he just stuff just doesn't come to him. I know you can train your brain to do certain things, but somebody was talking about robots, and he has these topics that they talk about on his little podcast, and his little podcast, and he was talking about some stuff, and he's sharing his opinions about things. Everybody's all concerned about robots taking over. Robots are taking over now. Well, the reason we call them robots is because they look like a robot. They look like a humanoid. So that's what we'll call all of a sudden that's what we have when we think of robot. That's the kind of thing. We think of, the Jetsons and the little, whatever the little maid was that they had as a robot. They had all kinds of robots in that channel. It was on that show. It's a cartoon. And so this idea of robots taking over is, what is a robot? He made the correlation or the idea that you can take one person, put them in an excavator. And that one person with an excavator can do what 20 people could do in a day. Or probably more than 20 people. Could do what 40 people could do in a day, depending on the excavator. And, the kind of work you can do, the lack, you're not putting as many people's lives at risk. You're not putting as many people's, you don't have as many health problems. You don't have all that other stuff that's going on. This one person can do the work of those 20. So now you've displaced 20 people with that excavator. Excavator. I think I'm saying it right. It's early. So how does that work? How does that happen? So then at some point you have an autonomous excavator. Maybe some guy in an office somewhere, in a room somewhere, is operating one remotely. So now you've even taken that guy he just claims, that excavator is like a robot that you sit inside of. Anytime you're displacing people with technology, that's what this is, and it just kind of makes that correlate, draws that parallel with how that works. One guy with a donkey can do more than five people without a donkey. When you're packing stuff up through the mountains, we've got a donkey. You can pack a lot of stuff on that donkey and get him up, or the burro, or whatever you got. So those even that an ox that's treading out, that's pulling a thing for hours and hours and hours, walking along, making the mill grinder thing working. millstone or whatever it is that you're doing. One person, it would take 4 or 5 people to turn that thing, and it probably have to change out people constantly. You wouldn't be able to. An ox can just do that all day long. So there's things that displace people from work. And it's been happening, time immemorial. And every time it happens, everybody says, oh, this is going to everybody. No one's going to be working anymore. There's always going to be work to do. The point of not having menial task jobs anymore, that the robots are taking over, so to speak, even more the complicated jobs, gives the humans more time to be creative in their work. You can think of something, you can actually get it done faster. Accelerates the ability to figure out something else. One of the things about, Thomas Edison, he tried like 1,000 different ways to make a light bulb or whatever. And when somebody asked him, aren't you frustrated with, all these, didn't you get frustrated? Whatever the question was that they asked him. He said, well, no, I found 1,000 ways the light bulb doesn't work. There's this, always a positive spin on that, but you find out, now, if he could have gotten through those 1,000 different ways in one day, what could he have done then once he figured out how to do that? What did he just do with the next day? It probably took him 1,000 days. I don't know how many days it took him to figure that out, to figure out 1,000 ways, how many tests he could do in a day. But I'm sure it wasn't, more than a few. It would take him a couple of years. I don't know how long he worked on the light bulb thing, along with all the other inventions he was working on. So this idea that we're just going to all be sitting around twiddling our thumbs and have nothing to do and just watching Sesame Street, I guess, all day long, or whatever we're going to do. Human beings are going to find a way to continue to harness technology and use technology, use these things that supposedly displace us to better the lives of other people. And that's just the way it works. The standard of living goes up for everybody. Theoretically. Of course, people get fatter and people have other issues and other things, whatever. But that's how this works. This has always worked this way. People price themselves out of the market. Start wanting $30 an hour for a minimum wage. Ridiculous. I'm of the school that, and I know this is radical, I don't think there should be a minimum wage at all. But here's the trick with this, and this is where I have some school teacher friends. I don't know if they're listening or not. I don't know if they're going to hear this episode or not. The public school system, in my opinion, and there's no reason why they can't do this. If they just, this used to happen all the time. The majority of the population did not used to go to college. A college education was a very rare thing in this country at one time, even back in the 50s and 60s. The majority of people, the majority of students that graduated from high school did not go to college. If they did, they didn't graduate from college. That's just in the 50s and 60s, 40s especially. That was unheard of. Higher education was just not a thing that most people did. Majority of the people. Nowadays, it's like, well, you get out of high school, you're just really, really, you can't do anything. You're primed for college. You have to go to college to get to before you can get a job anywhere. Everybody wants a college degree. Otherwise, you're going to be cleaning toilets and sweeping floors. Well, it's not the case anymore. You can go to trade school. You can make better money in most cases than some other professions. However, it is my opinion that when you graduate from high school, and I don't understand. Most of the stuff that kids learn today is all social stuff. Of course, that always cracks me up when people who homeschool their kids get asked the question, well, aren't you concerned about their socialization? Yeah, that's why they're homeschooled. That's why I want to send my kids to public school and get that kind of socialization. They don't need that kind of socialization. Things they're going to learn from other kids, that's great. And in some cases, learn stuff from teachers that they shouldn't be. But the most of the homeschooled kids I have known in my life have been far beyond their level of maturity, their level of wisdom, understanding of the world, their respect for other people has been so much higher than anything I've experienced on a whole from public school systems. On a whole. Now, there are, of course, there's always students that are going to excel. But the vast majority, I would say, it's like 80-20 in homeschool kids. 80% of them are excellent. In the public school system, 20% of them are excellent. That's been my observation. Now, I could be totally wrong, and I'm not saying that 80% of the kids in public school are worthless. And no, I'm just saying that that's the experience that they keep. They're the kids. They're just kids. Just saying that's what the school is producing. I know that they have so much more they can live up to. They just had better, you know, direction and oversight and a little more one-on-one. But the public school model is, you know, when you look into why the public school system is there and what it's designed to do, it makes, you know, you can figure out it was actually designed by elites to create a worker bee class. However, I believe if the public school system was doing its job, if it really wanted to make a difference in the world, a student who spends 12 years in school, 12 years of their life spent in school, steps out of school, and they're all they can do is a job that pays minimum wage. They don't understand life. They can't manage their checkbook. They can't do all this stuff that they can't do. If you're just depending on the public school, now, there are kids who do because their parents teach them. Well, then why are we sending them to public school? It's daycare. It's just adolescent daycare. So we have I think the day one, kids should go to school. They should learn something about basic money principles. They should learn something about the tax system. How the tax code works, why it does what it does. You know, they need to understand when you get your paycheck, when they pay you $10 an hour, or whatever it is, I'm just using 10 because it's an easy number. They pay you $10 an hour and they charge you, say they charge you 7% for some kind of tax, some federal, state, whatever it is, some kind of tax. Your employer pays another 7% on top of that. That you never see. When you pay for unemployment insurance, oh wait, yes, your employer pays that. For every $10 an hour that you make, your employer pays you $10, and they also pay the government another, it gets close to about 50%. So to have you there, you might only see $10 an hour. It's costing them probably more like $15 an hour to have you there. Most workers go half of their, most of their life. I would say there's probably workers that have worked all their lives and retired and not understood the fact that their employer actually spent way more. They never have understood this concept. They've never even been told this concept because they've never owned a business and they've never had any employees. They have no idea. Of course, the more employees you get, you get to a certain point, you have a certain number of employees. Now you have to pay workman's comp. You have to pay all this other stuff. You have to do all kinds of other things that, you know, once you, I think you get over 9 employees or something different in different states, but just, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a, you know, legal advisor in business stuff. I'm just saying what my experience has been. And it becomes very expensive to have you there. And it's, and yet, and then when you get your check and you get all this, you know, I'm getting $10 an hour. I work 8 hours a day. It's $80 a day. 5 days a week, it's $400 a week. And I get home and I only have I get a check for $300. What just happened here? Well, you had health insurance, which your employer probably pays part of. You have all of your other taxes you got to pay, your Social Security. You've got your state and federal withholdings, which, by the way, are just withheld. Government just withholds them. You pay them at the end of the year, but they withhold them for you. Well, we'll just hold on to this for you. Oh, look, government's giving you back all this money. That was your money. You could have done something with that. You wouldn't probably. And that's the other issue with the whole public school system is we don't teach children how to save their money, how to invest their money, what to do with their money, with their time. How do you manage your time? How do you do all these things? How do you read, write, and do arithmetic? The basics of learning are reading, writing, and arithmetic. We teach them all kinds of other crap. Just the basics of life in general. Just how to manage the system, the whole. And if you understand those things, you wouldn't need a system of Social Security and all these other things. Because here's the problem. We have this, the savings plan. The school doesn't teach you how to save, doesn't teach you the benefits of saving, doesn't put those principles into the children. You just get out, you borrow money for a car. And you start paying that off. And of course, before you get that one paid off, you trade it in and get another one. Because the bank's going to let you borrow that money. Because I got to work now. I got to go to work. Got to work. Work, work, work. So I can pay for the car. But I have to have the car to get to work. Make my payments. And then you want to buy a house. Or maybe you want to go to college. Just stack up some more debt there. Get a college loan. Well, I had to go to college. So I think the government should pay for that. I think I should have that my college loan, forgiven. Just forgive it. I got this degree in social basket weaving, and I think the government should pay for that. But, I owe $100,000 for that. It goes on and on with this stuff. And then you rack up all this and now I work at McDonald's. It's so frustrating because these employers, these greedy employers, they will only hire somebody if you have all the experience. Well, maybe nobody told you that in school. You just had to realize that when you got out of school, had that reality had to slap you in the face because nobody told you for 12 years. This is what you have to look forward to. You need to prepare for this. Nothing. I got none of that going through school. I got a lot of other stuff. And it's important to learn about history. It's important to learn about all these other things. But there's life lessons there to be learned in history. If you study history, then learn some lessons. Make that an opportunity to say, this is what happened back here. This is what they did. This is what the writings, this is what the thinking was. We can kind of put this together. These were the mistakes that were made. Don't make these mistakes. I never heard anybody say that. All we heard was, this is what they did. Now we're going to take a test. Spit it back out again. This is what they did. Okay, there you go. I want to try that. I want to try doing that. Did you not catch the part about the consequences of what they did? Apparently not. That's my gripe, I guess, with the public school system. Is that we have kids coming out that aren't prepared. This whole idea of a minimum wage is very similar to this idea that I think was it Chan, what's the guy's name that ran for president of the Democrat Party? He was all about everybody gets a subsidized living, a minimum wage kind of or minimum income thing. Everybody gets $1,000 a month. Everybody gets $1,000 a month. And it might have been everybody that makes less than $250,000 a year or something gets $1,000 a month. Guaranteed sub income or whatever it is. Now, of course, this is all in an attempt. Now, you have to understand what all this is about. And of course, they keep raising the minimum wage. At some point, and they already are, $30 an hour. You're starting to push into some more trained, I would say, professions, wages, dental hygienists and that kind of thing. You're getting close to maybe not college educated or college degree required, I should say, wages. But you're getting very close to some of the more professional entry-level jobs, entry-level pay for. So why if you can make $30 an hour at McDonald's and not have to hassle with learning anything other than, you know, when to turn the, you know, when the button, when you hear this sound, flip fries out. I just don't see the you know, people aren't going to see the benefit of, well, I can make $5 an hour more and pay more taxes. You start realizing how much taxes take out. Well, $5 an hour more is going to give me, you know, I'm going to make another $100 a week. You know, I got to go to school for how many years and have debt, this much debt to get so I can make that much more money. They're not going to do it. They're already making $30 an hour. Now, the problem is it's going to trickle down, which it will. And at some point over the next year, that value meal is going to be $30. That's my whole hamburger economics thing. I'm not an economics expert, but it's the way it works. I've seen it. I've observed it all my life. I think minimum wage, I can't remember what it was when I was a kid. Back in the early 70s, I think minimum wage, what was it? I'm going to look it up because I'm convinced that this is the way it works. I've done this, looked at this before. Minimum wage in 1975. Let's just go with 75 because I'm not going to go back any further. The federal minimum wage in 1975 was $2 an hour. $2 an hour. That was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, $2 an hour. They now want to have $30 an hour. You know what the price of a value meal was back in 1975? Just under $2 an hour. Just under $2. Right now, the minimum wage is about, what is it, 10? What is the minimum wage right now? It's something. I'm going to look at the federal minimum wage. Current federal minimum wage. I think it's only $4 or $5 an hour. $7.25 an hour. That's perfect. $7.25 an hour. Do you know what the lowest cost number one is? A cheeseburger meal. It's $7.25 an hour. Let's keep that in mind. Price of a cheeseburger meal at McDonald's. Value meal. There we go. Price of a cheeseburger at McDonald's. Cheeseburger. I don't see the. Okay, it doesn't have it on there. I'm just gonna put McDonald's on there myself because it's not giving me that option. It's not filling it for me because it's not smart enough. There we go. You know what? I think it was going to say it for me. I probably messed that up. Right now. Oh, come on. Well, I don't know. Let's just go to this thing. Oh, now it's just going to pull up the website. Okay, whatever this is. All right, let's go to double cheeseburger. Well, buy one, get one for now. That's a dollar. That's a special meal. Meal deals. The McDouble. Yeah, regular. Let's just go to the regular. Where's the regular menu? Come on now. McValue. Let's see what we got here for McValue. Okay, breakfast burgers. Nice fries, sweets, happy meal. Price of a happy meal. Let's see what the price of a happy meal. A happy meal, a hamburger happy meal. Doesn't say. Is all the stuff there? Doesn't give a price. Yeah, that's not good. I don't know how much it is. It doesn't say what it is. It doesn't even say how much it is. The website. That's great. Okay, let's go back a few here. This is real menu prices. Let's see what this is. Up to date, 2025. 68 million customers served by this year. All right, here we go. Big Mac, two cheeseburgers is, this doesn't make any sense. Meal, premium McWrap meal. Okay. Double quarter pounder with cheese meal. So the quarter pounder with cheese meal is $5.75, just under minimum wage. That the price for that back in 1975 was just under minimum wage. Gee, do you see it? Do you see a correlation here? The percentage it works out almost exactly the same, and it just. Initially, you feel like, oh, I've gotten this raise. Now I can go out and I can afford things and go out and do stuff. Of course, now this puts you up in a higher tax bracket, of course. So you're going to be paying higher taxes, which is one of the ways that the government kind of swindles you into paying, getting more tax revenue. I can see a kid's meal is $3.99. So yeah, this is just under minimum wage. It has always been that way. And you think it's going to be any different. A value meal is going to cost you $25. Now, I guarantee you it's going to cost that much. In most places today, when I go in to go to a drive-thru, now, of course, if you biggie-size the drink, if you do anything else with other than fries, other than small fries, if I get, cheese curds or something like that, I'm getting out of there for no less than $11 or $12 for a value meal, a combo. It's just the way it is. It's over $10 now. So I don't know where these prices are coming from. McDonald's typically, especially, places I go a lot of times are at airports. McDonald's at airports, these are about double the prices that you see here. So that's my whole that's my economics lesson for you, is that the more you pay people, the higher the expenses go. This is why the kiosks are coming into place. They put these kiosks up and you have to order your sandwich through a kiosk. That's the way that works. Now, I've done all this talking and the thing I really want to talk about is actually Jeffrey Epstein. We all know that they have records. Okay, first of all, if there's no list of clients. Maybe Jeffrey Epstein didn't keep a list. You know he knew. He had people. You know there was a list. This really aggravates me, actually, with Pam Bondi. And what kind of game are they playing here? Now, I have a feeling there's something going on behind the scenes that they just simply can't disclose, that they just have to keep this thing locked up. There may be an investigation, there may be some people involved that they just can't open it up at this point. Maybe when they get some things done over the course of this year, we're only 6 months into this administration. Maybe there are some things that they just have to protect right now, just have to keep under their hat until all of a sudden they have a revelation, they have something else that comes out. If there's no list, if there was no clients, if there was nothing happening going on here, is it just, then what was Jeffrey Epstein in jail for and what is Ghislaine Maxwell in jail for? She's in prison right now for something. Were they the only ones that were messing around with these kids? There is something very deep and dark going on here. And maybe right now they're just trying to cover up an investigation. There's an investigation going on. They can't mention anything about it. They dare not even talk about an investigation going on. So they're simply saying there's no list and Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Because both of those things, I do not believe. I'm sorry. I do not believe them. When they say it, Everything about the way, and I'm not talking about their body language. I'm talking, you know, because there's some people have gone over their body language of Dan Bongino and it's just when they say these things, nope, don't believe them. Nope, I do not believe them. Sorry. Cash Patel, don't believe you. Bongino, don't believe you. Pondy, don't believe you. If you've seen, she said something about a list that was on her desk. And then all of a sudden, there's no list. And there's nothing to see here. Well, then you need to let Ghislaine Maxwell out of prison right now, because apparently there wasn't any crimes committed, because there has to be a crime against someone. And someone has to have perpetrated the crime. If she was providing young children for the pleasure of other adults, who are the adults that were their clients? People didn't just show up and all. Well, maybe they did. I think, personally, I think there was a lot of blackmail going on. They say there's none of that going on. Then what was this all about? How did he actually make his money? There's just too many questions here. Sometimes the simplest answer is the most, the most obvious answer is the simplest answer is the most actual factual answer. That's where I'm standing on this. That's my opinion. You call, let me know what you think. I just think we're being either intentionally kept in the dark for a different purpose, or they are literally covering this up to protect themselves, protect somebody. And we'll never know. Ben Shapiro has come out and said, well, here you go, folks. For all you people who say you don't believe him, then where's the evidence? Where's your evidence? Where's your evidence that anything else? Here's the evidence. They were arrested for something. Go back and look at the charges. There were victims and there were perpetrators. And there were people who facilitated it. They were the ones who facilitated the crime. The crime was committed by other people. Who are these other people? There's your list. There you go, Ben. That's the evidence, the evidence of things unseen. We haven't seen the list because we don't know who these people are and they're protecting them. But there obviously were some people, because somebody got put in jail for it. Two people now have got, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, who didn't kill himself. And Ghislaine, who is still in prison. What are they in prison for there? I think that Ben Shapiro's kind of lost his way. I hate to say it. I want to like the guy. I can't put it together. He's just annoying, and now he's even getting kind of irrational in some of his thoughts, some of the things he says, things he's done with his company, just with the Daily Wire, everything that's gone on. I don't like it. I don't like some of the things that were said. There's a couple people on there. I just like Matt Walsh. I do like Michael Knowles, even though there's just some difference of opinion there, but that's fine. I can live with that. Some of the other things that have been said and some of the ridiculousness that's gone out there is just, yeah. Folks, have a great rest of your day. I will be talking to you tomorrow morning from Syracuse, New York. In the meantime, have a great... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking to you from... Never mind. God bless. See ya.